words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we should conclude our studies today in this chapter as we look now to verse number 15 and begin our study concerning the spiritual man. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your greatness, and your graciousness in our lives. I ask you to please speak to the hearts of your people. Do what only you can do. Give us strength in these days. Help our lives to be lived for your glory and honor and power. May we be found faithful even at the coming of Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do. We will give you the praise. For thine is the glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We've already considered the natural man. We look now to the spiritual man. We see the mind of the Christian in verse 15. We see the mind of Christ in verse 16. The spiritual man is that one who possesses spiritual discernment, who is walking with a spiritual direction in his steps, who has been given that spiritual deposit, even the Spirit which is of God, not the spirit of the world. And he knows the things that are freely given to him of God. We who are spiritual have been regenerated. We have the divine nature of God within our hearts. We have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are a part of that new man, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, Greek nor barbarian, bond nor free, but we are one in Christ, and Christ is in all. And with the Holy Ghost, with this spiritual direction, with this spiritual discernment, the mind of the Christian operates on a higher plane, operates according to higher principles. Because we are governed by a heavenly person, and we are guided by a heavenly purpose, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we now can judge all things, for we have the mind of Christ. Verse 16, we have, in definite terms, the mind of Christ, with the Holy Spirit as our guide, showing us the deep things of God in the Scriptures. We gain the very thoughts and words of God. We thus have Christ's mind in any matter and in all matters as we live out the Christian life, thinking His thoughts, following His words, obeying His ways. Then we can be He that is spiritual, judging all things. Yet He Himself is judge of no man. A Christian life such as this cannot be judged by men. But I remind you, one day it will be judged by God, which Paul then discusses in chapter number 3. But for now, let me back up and mention some things concerning the work of God's Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. First of all, if you recall from the beginning of this chapter, in verses 4 and 5, we considered briefly the work of regeneration, how the Spirit of God comes alongside the Word of God, and the Spirit points out the truth of Christ to the heart and mind of the sinner. That is that phrase, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He comes alongside. He manifests the Word, makes it plain, evident, brings light into the heart of the sinner, brings love into the heart of the sinner. He brings life into the heart of the sinner. The sinner is born again according to the Spirit and power of God if he would only repent and believe upon Christ. The work of regeneration, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Spirit of God regenerates the sinner. But how does the sinner come to understand that he needs God? How does the sinner come to see and hear God's truth? That is the work of revelation. The Spirit of God reveals to the sinner. There is illumination in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. There is inspiration, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. The apostles spoke not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And so the Spirit of God, He brings light upon the Word. There's regeneration for the sinner if he would respond and receive that light. The Spirit of God will give him more light. And then as he walks in that light toward Christ, away from his sin, he can be saved and born again by the Holy Ghost. And then the Spirit of God comes to dwell within that sinner. He's been made a saint, a child of God, and yet there's more light given. And thus, the Spirit of God, indwelling the saints as their teacher and guide and comforter, He began as the reprover in their hearts when they were sinners. Now He's their teacher, comforter, their guide, as they belong to the church, the bride of Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God works in their lives to bring them further and more fully into the light of the truth of God. And so the Spirit of God ought to have His perfect work in our lives. We should be Spirit-taught and Spirit-led believers. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are the sons of God. So a question. Are we like the Bereans? Do we daily search the scriptures to see whether these things are so? Do we receive the word of God as it is in truth? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. How do we respond to the engrafted or implanted word of God? Are we walking in obedience to what the Spirit of God reveals unto us? James chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. What's your appetite like for the Word of God? Do you, as a babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby? What about me? How is my appetite for the things of God? Oh, how we should be crying out as a hungry babe, thirsting for milk. Ought we to be thirsty for the Word of God, that we might understand the things of God? So 1 Corinthians 2, Paul's further entreaty, he points the saints to God and His glory, seeking to thus end their divisions, to clear up the strife, to remove the contentions. God and His glory, Christ and His cross, two passionate pleas, earnest petitions from the heart of the apostle, that the people of God would once again get centered on Christ and be a church perfectly joined together. Now we will begin, the Lord willing, our next time together with Paul's fearful entreaty, where we look into chapter 3 concerning the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of the believer's works before God that He performed on this earth. May God help us to abide in Him, that we might not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Until then, keep your eyes off the world. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart in tune with Him and your feet in step with His Word. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's Word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.